I want to talk to you today for a few minutes about what it means to be born again. And the preachers preach, you must be born again, give an altar call. I want to go beyond that. I want you to see what it means to be born again. It means a lot more than just fire insurance. Can you say amen? And we'll see that as we go. The only thing that counts, of course, is a new creation or being born again. Until a person is born again, they may not know it, but they're slaves to sin and are under the death penalty. Ezekiel 18, verse 4, it says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." A lot of people don't understand why it was so important for Christ to come. It's because every one of us deserve to die because of our sins. "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And Jesus Christ came as the God-man, righteous man, fully God, fully righteous, and he died in our place. That's why it's so important for us to understand these things, because somebody had to die, and he died in my place. And I receive it by faith. That's the only way you can receive it, is by faith. Satan, get out of here in the name of Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You see, he died for me while I was living in rebellion to God. Didn't know I had a problem and thought I was having fun. Jesus Christ died in my place so that when I heard the word of God, I could put my faith in him and be born again, and the law of sin and death be broken off of my life. "For God so loved the world that he gave his Son." 1 Peter 2:4, "He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live to righteousness." So he came to die in our place. Says, this is Peter, 1 Peter 2:24, "By his wounds you have been healed." It's a done deal. He has provided everything we need to live life and live godly and to live victoriously, but we receive it one way, by faith. You see, he paid the debt I owed by dying in my place. Now I am free from sin and alive to righteousness, totally because of him. Romans chapter 6, verse 6, it says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." And so the word of God says, until you're born again, you're slaves to sin. You may not even know it, but there's something way down deep inside of you that you really can't control. Verse 7, "Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin." Why do some people teach you can just keep living in sin? This says if you've died to sin, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're dead to sin, and you're no longer to serve sin. And the problem is, a lot of people don't know what sin is. They think it's a thought. They think, you know, it's just slipping up and saying a little word that's not approved of. Sin is intentional rebellion against God's word, against God's commandments. When God tells you to do something and you say, "I know God wants me to do it, but I'm not going to do it," that's sin. Getting a little angry in traffic, you might need to repent of that and ask God to help you to have a little more self-control. But that is not rebellious, intentional, on-purpose sin. Amen. You need to know that. So when that law of sin and death is broken off of us, we can keep God's law because of our new nature. The law of God is now written in our heart. You see, when I accepted Christ, I knew I was changed. I was different on the inside. Wasn't perfect, still had a problem with the flesh, but I knew something had changed. Some experience a greater change than others. And so just because you hadn't received a real great change, I know as a young kid, I accepted the Lord at 11, and when I'd hear a preacher preach, "You got to have a great change," I'm thinking, well, I didn't have a great change. Well, I didn't need a great change. I just needed to know Jesus. As a kid, you know, I wasn't on drugs and alcohol and all that kind of stuff. But that old nature was changed, and I knew Jesus Christ. But the change was as radical as a lot of people have. Romans chapter 6, verse 1, "Are we to continue to sin so that grace may increase?" That is a good question, and it's there for a reason. so that you can hear this answer. May it never be, how shall we who are dead to sin still live in it? It's amazing how clear the Bible is, and yet people don't know it. They don't understand it. That's why you need a guy like me to show up and explain what it means to be born again. If you're dead to sin, if we're dead to sin, how shall we continue in sin? Does that not make sense? That law of sin and death is broken, then I am free to love people, bless people, and I have the ability to not steal and not lie and commit adultery. Somebody say amen. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, get this, until we are born again, we're slaves to sin. Those wonderful neighbors next to you, if they're not born again, there's no telling what they're capable of doing. We see in the news all the time, this guy kills his whole family and then kills himself. And the next door neighbor said, we didn't see that coming. They seem like such wonderful people. How many know just because you seem wonderful don't mean you are? It doesn't mean you are. See, they have a sin problem. And the devil is working to take total control. Now, you can take an old sinner and train him, you know, and that's why we need to have strong discipline, is train people how to treat each other. Even if they're not saved, they can be disciplined. And they can have a fear of going to jail, going to have a fear of being put in a gas chamber, electric chair, or do an injection that take their life. They need to be afraid of something to help them keep themselves in check because their nature is not good. And that's why secular humanists are destroying this country, is because they say, well, man's basically good, just let him do what he wants to do. Man is not basically good. The Bible makes that very clear. He's a slave to sin. And if we do not have strong, strict laws, he's going to kill us. Amen. Amen. That is in him. And that should be pretty obvious, all the murders across this country. When our old nature is crucified with Christ, we are freed from sin. If we're dead to sin, it can no longer enslave us. It can no longer make me lie and steal, commit adultery, and do the wicked things the Bible has commanded us not to do. Our flesh may still have habits and addictions, but the Holy Spirit can fix these things too. A lot of people don't understand the difference. Spirit man, the real you, is born again, born of the Spirit of God. You become a child of God, but you still live in this house of flesh. Flesh still likes stuff. Can you say amen? Flesh loves tasty food. And sometimes I think we'd be better off if we did not put so many spices and things in our food so it tastes so good. Yay! Because you lust after that taste. And so maybe it's better sometimes if our food is a little more bland. But we've got a big dinner coming up. Thank God, I love it, enjoy it. But we need to be able to say you've eaten enough and push back. Can you say amen? It's called self-control. You're saved. You're born again. You just need to push back from the table. Amen. Verse 13, and do not... go, and I think that's important because a lot of people don't understand the difference. Well, I still have thoughts. I still like certain things I really shouldn't like. I crave after that. Well, that's the flesh. Amen. And it says that the Lord lives in us, working, that we're his workmanship. He's working in us to change the flesh so that it's called sanctification. Bring the flesh under control. Doesn't mean you're not saved. Just means you need another dose of sanctification. Verse 13, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. We can intentionally do things we know is wrong. We can use our tongue to bless someone or to curse someone. And we know that's true. We can use our hands to help someone, or we can use our hands to hurt someone. And we can use our bodies to do God's work or to do the devil's work. So it says, do not continue to yield the members of your body to sinful things. Once we are born again, the Holy Spirit helps us clean up by sanctifying us from the inside out and helps us to control our fleshly desires. And I feel like the more you meditate on God's word, and the more you pray and seek the face of God, the more you're in a good spirit-filled, on fire church, the more ability you have to control your flesh. The righteousness, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ in no other way. We live by faith. Once you're born again, you don't quit living by faith. You live by faith every day of your life until you're standing in heaven. In St. John chapter 3, verse 16, tell me if you've ever heard this before. This is a different translation. This is the Amplified Bible. It's translated by a woman. And if you want something done right, you get a woman. I thought I'd get a big amen from the ladies. But work on your amens. St. John 3:16, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world, meaning the people of the world, that he even gave up his only begotten, that means unique son. What's unique about him? You see, a lot of people believe, because the King James says the only begotten, that God created Jesus. Not so. Christ, the spirit of Jesus was with the Father from the beginning. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But in order to have a righteous man, God asked his son to take on flesh, to be born of a woman, to become a God-man, a righteous man, so he could die in our place. So God didn't create him, but he was unique in the fact that he was God and human. Amen. So that whoever believes, trust in, this lady does a great job. This is exactly what it means. It's not good enough to say, I believe in Jesus up here. You got to believe in him enough to trust him with eternal soul salvation, to trust him with your life, to trust him with your job, to trust him with your finances, to trust him with your ministry. For God so greatly loved and prized, dearly prized the world, that he even gave up his only begotten unique son, so that whosoever believeth, you see, that's our part. Whosoever believeth in him, trusts in him, clings to him, relies on him, shall not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. God gave this his unique son for us, that we might believe in him, trust in him, cling to him, not just say with our mouth, I believe in him, but actually demonstrate it by the way we live, cling to him and rely on him. When you have a problem, do you rely on him, or do you rely on your flesh, or do you rely on some man or some woman? Who do you rely on? Born-again people. What this means is born-again people is that we rely on God for everything. It doesn't mean we don't go out and get a good job and work hard, but we trust him to help us to get a good job and enable us to work hard. You see, we do not just believe with our heads, but with our hearts. We trust our lives and eternal souls to him. And sometimes you feel safe, sometimes you don't. You live by faith. Because you have confessed your sins, invited him into your life, and you have repented and turned toward God, then you are born again. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Doesn't say you feel saved all the time. It just gives you the knowledge that once you confess your sins, you can know they're forgiven, and not only forgiven, but you're washed clean, so you stand before God as if you've never sinned. Doesn't matter how you feel. But there's times you will feel it. God can't live in you and you not know it. Romans chapter 3, verse 22, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. See, when I say something, I want to read it to you out of the Bible so you know I didn't make it up. Look at that. Did you get that? This righteousness from God, the righteousness that gives you the privilege to stand in God's holy presence and to be totally justified as if you'd never sinned, the only way you can be righteous like that is by faith in the Son of God. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Righteousness comes only through faith in Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, that word justified is very important. It means right now I stand before God as if I'd never sinned. Amen. I'm not justified because of the way I act. I may have, I'm not admitting anything, but I may have said some hateful things to Dottie on the way to the church. I'm not admitting it. But that just means I have need a little more self-control. That doesn't mean I'm not saved. Can you say amen? I'm justified before y'all paying attention. You really need to know what it means to be saved. It means you're justified before God like you never sinned. And just because you do some little something doesn't mean you cannot come boldly before His presence and believe Him for your miracle, because the devil will tell you you're not worthy because of the way you acted. And just for your information, Don and I had a fun time coming to church today. We just laughed and joked and talked all the way. And that's true, but that's not always the way it is. No one is justified before God except by faith in Jesus and His Word. Do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe these things I'm reading? What's faith? It's believing the Word of God that I'm reading. I am righteous. Well, you don't always act righteous. Well, neither do you. But thank God we don't depend on that. Now, that doesn't mean we can be happy with ourselves when we know we're not acting the way the Lord wants us to. That means we just need to pray that God sanctifies us and help us to clean up. Everyone is not saved just because of Calvary. There's a teaching right here in Knoxville. You know that Jesus Christ died and shed His grace abroad and everybody's saved. That is not true. It says, for grace are you saved through faith. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You're not saved until you put your faith in the Son of God and His sacrifice on Calvary, to the point that you cling to Him and rely on Him and trust Him. Everyone is saved when they put their faith in Calvary's provision, shed blood. Grace is shed blood. Grace is Calvary and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us, Him dying in our place. That's God's grace and provision. For by grace, shed blood, Calvary, are you saved, born again through faith, your faith in Jesus Christ. The faith that He drops in your heart, you believe on Him from the inside, because it becomes a revelation in you that He is the Son of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the righteous will live by faith. Read that with me. The righteous will live by faith. There's no other way to heaven. And you cannot just believe God for 15 minutes, 15 days, 15 weeks, 15 years. Yeah, you must live by faith all the way until you're standing in heaven, trusting Him all the way. It doesn't say except or maybe or anything else. It says the righteous will live. What does live mean? You live by faith daily. That means trusting in Him every day of your life. This says we must live our lives by faith. That means if you do something that disappoints yourself, you still live by faith. You say, Lord, forgive me, and you go on by faith, trusting Him to help you make it all the way to heaven. You see, the devil wants us to get all confused about these things, but we need to understand these scriptures. The righteous will live by faith. It is action, not just words. Living is action. Amen. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. That is no longer I, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. How do you live this life? By faith in the Son of God. Not just to make you to heaven, but to believe that He's going to help you make it through this life. That He's going to help you make it through this day. He's going to help you to make it through this week. And if you have enemies at work, He's going to help you with those enemies also. Thine enemies that rise up against, y'all pay attention. Thine enemies that rise up against thee shall be smitten before thy face. That's what it means to be a child of God, to be born again. It means He's on your side. He's walking with you in the darkest places. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. I want you to know, and God wants you to know, that salvation is more than fire insurance. Oh, I'm saved now. I get to go to heaven. Don't have to go to hell. But what about living this life? You know, you got to live this life, and you live it by faith. I live by faith in the Son of God. We live every day trusting Him to live through us and to sanctify us. I trust Him to help me be the person I need to be. We trust Him for food, for clothing, for financial provision. We trust Him to be our shepherd. He said, take no anxious worried thought about what you shall eat, drink, or wear. He said, do not worry. Why? Because your faith is in Him. We trust Him for food, clothing, financial provision. This is what it means to be born again. You see, we trust Him to be our shepherd and to direct our lives. It says we can ask for wisdom and get it. You know, the difference between success and failure very often is just wisdom. If you make good decisions, you're going to come out a lot better. If you pray over the person to marry and you marry the right one, you know, you have wisdom and marry the right one, how many of you, that's going to be better than marrying the wrong one. So God will give us wisdom and direction, but no matter what kind of mess we created, the Lord will still help us to work it out and straighten it out if we'll trust Him to do so. Amen. He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways and to bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Even when you make mistakes, He'll send angels to help you with it and to redeem it and turn it to good. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
It will not kill you. Say amen.
Amen.
This is what it means to be born again. We hear Him and obey Him. It's important for you to obey Him. Matthew 16:15, He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter, get this. And Simon Peter, I use this in other sermons, but this is extremely important right now. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. How did he know that? Jesus Christ looked just like everybody else. How did he know he was the Son of God? How do you know he's the Son of God? How do you know? Well, I'm going to tell you. You ought to know that by now. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Rather, I'm going to let Jesus tell you. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. The reason you're saved is because Father God revealed to you, to your heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you believe that revelation and begin to confess it. He's my Lord, and you're born again because of the revelation God put in your heart. You didn't just get smart one day and get saved. The Lord quickened something in you, maybe in a sermon, maybe something somebody said, but He quickened something and it became a no-so faith in you that He is the Son of God, and you just knew it, and so you accepted Him, and when you did, your world changed. But it didn't start with your intellectual ability. It started when the Lord gave you inner revelation. I'll read it again. Some of you kind of doze off. Please wake up. And don't be a smart aleck. I had a guy this in the church years ago. He'd come to me to say, boy, I got your sermon, took it home and played it and went right to sleep. I thought he meant my sermon was bringing peace into his life, but he meant I was boring him to sleep. I finally realized he's insulting me. Praise the Lord. Nobody ever knows what happened to him. Verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. That's the way faith is. The reason I believe in healing is because God gave me a revelation about Matthew 8:16-17. The reason I believe in prosperity, that God wants to bless me, is because Jesus said, given shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men get given your bosoms. He said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Try me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, and see if I not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And it says, I rebuke the devourer for your sake. Because I have these revelations in my heart, I expect God to bless me financially when I obey Him with the dollar I have. It's a revelation. It's not something I just got from a preacher. But sometimes when a preacher, like me today, preaching the Word of God, these scriptures will grab you and become a revelation to you. And when they do, you jot down the reference and go home and memorize it. You see, Peter had the revelation, and he confessed it. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You need to confess him with your mouth. He's the Son of God. He is my shepherd. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. You see, God gives every one of us an inner revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and we must confess it as Peter did. Peter said without hesitation, he said, you're the Christ. But then guess what? He got over in the flesh, got nervous, got scared, and then denied Christ. So we need to be confessing every day that the Jesus is the Son of God and he's my Lord. We need to have that on the tip of our tongue so we never hesitate, so we never doubt it. Not even for a second. After Peter had that negative experience, he got his act together and he served God by faith the rest of his life. God gives us that inner revelation. How many of you know that Jesus Christ lives in your heart right now? You know it. That's what I'm talking about. There's an evidence, a revelation there. It's not just up here. See, we must never allow the devil to cause us to doubt it. He caused Peter to doubt it because it was a very, very threatening situation. It doesn't matter how threatening the situation is. We all need to continually confess, he is my Lord. You live by faith daily, no matter how big the giant, no matter how ugly he is, no matter how tall the mountain, no matter how deep the sea. You walk straight ahead, trusting God, like Peter walking on the water. We all, in a sense, walking on water, walking by faith. And we have storms that we walk through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or through the storm, I'll fear no evil, because God is with me. Amen. That's your faith, and you act on it. You act on it by not panicking, you know. Just keep believing God. I've got a lot of stories, some stories anyway, I panicked. And I've already told you much of that. And so we all can panic, but let's get back to our scripture, get back to our faith and stand on it. Confess every day, Jesus is my Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee and in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. So every one of us has some knowledge, even before we're saved, who Christ is. Listen, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So what do we do with it? We confess it. Like Peter, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I make you my Lord. That's a choice. I make you my Lord. You see, this is that inner revelation, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So having that faith, that also revelation in your heart is not enough. You need to confess him as your Lord. That's what this really means. Jesus Christ is my Lord. That's why I have to pray that every Sunday, to confess that he is my Lord. And that means if he's Lord, that means he's my boss. Amen. I'm going to obey him. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's why it's so important for us to watch what we say. Because we need to be sure we're confessing the word of God that's in us and not confessing our emotions or negative feelings. You may not feel saved, but you don't dare say I'm not saved. Can you say amen? You may feel sick, but you're better off to say, with his stripes, I'm healed. Because you're confessing what's in here. That word is in me. With his stripes, I'm healed. And I refuse to say anything contrary to that. No matter how I feel, I am not going to tell you I'm sick. Feel sick. Well, you need to tell the truth. The truth is, with his stripes, I'm healed. What is the truth, the word of God, or the way I feel? Amen. Don't tell me it doesn't work. Because I've been working it. The healing scriptures for 45 years, they work. Amen, because they become your faith. And with a heart, man believeth unto righteousness. You believe with your heart that he's the healer, your healer. You believe that he is the one that blesses you and prospers you. You believe that he's the one that gives you wisdom and direction. You believe he's the one that enables you to live godly. You believe that, and you confess it with your mouth. To be saved, we must confess Jesus, that he is our Lord, and we must believe in our heart that he's the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead. With the heart, we believe he is the Son of God, and with the mouth, we confess him as Lord. Believe in here. Peter had it in here, and Peter said it. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Is that pretty good? Praise the Lord. Believe and confess, and then do what he tells you to do. When we are born again, we have a new nature. We are free from the law of sin and death. I'm giving you some detail, but just reading through what a lot of people would just get up and tell you. I'm reading it from the scripture, but it is a clear message. Now look at this. When we are born again, we have a new nature. We are free from the law of sin and death. Here it is, St. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So the main thing is to be born again by knowing that Jesus Christ lives in you. Jesus said this to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he was a Bible scholar of that day, but Jesus said, that's not good enough. You must be born again. Verse 7, do not be amazed that I have said to you, you must be born again. In order to go to heaven, we must be born again. Are born of God's Holy Spirit. People say, well, I'm good. I'm a good person. I haven't murdered anybody lately. I haven't stolen anything. I haven't committed adultery this month. Okay, I'm a pretty good guy. No, you must be born again. This is different from the Old Covenant. Old Covenant believers kept laws which include animal sacrifices. And I've known some Messianic Jewish people say, well, we keep the law, making it sound like they're better than us Christians. But the truth is they're not keeping the law. To really keep the law, you got to do animal sacrifices. And as long as Peter's around, you're not going to do that. But when we invite Jesus into our hearts and confess our sins, we become new creations in Christ. We're not just keeping law. The law is written in our heart, and by our new nature, we want to keep God's law. I don't want to steal anything. I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to go around telling lies to people. How about you? It's in my nature to keep God's law because he wrote it in my heart. We program our hearts with his laws, and our nature is totally changed. I mean, he programs our heart with, he even says, I'll give you a new heart in Ezekiel. And that's what has happened. You're not the same person. It is like changing. I love this example. I feel like the Lord gave this to me years ago. It's pretty simple. It's like changing the nature of a pig to a sheep. You see, we fall into sin or get tempted and sin, but we don't like it because that's not who we are. We're a new creation in Christ. We're different. A sheep may slip and fall into the mud, but he does not like it because he's a sheep, not a pig. Pig will like it. Sheep will not. And we used to, and I didn't just live on a farm. We farmed. We grew and produced about everything we ate, including beef and pork and chicken in some cases, eggs. And we'd clean up this old hog, take it down to the World's Fair, a county fair, win a great big ribbon, bring it back, set its feet back down on the farm, and he goes straight to the mud. Why? Because that's his nature. When you're born again, you become a godly lamb, godly sheep. You don't like the mud anymore. See, you're different. This is what it means to be saved. It means to be changed. He reprograms our heart. Romans 8, chapter 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. And that's what I bring up about every Sunday morning, because I know how the devil works. When we start praying for people, the devil's going to tell you, you're not worthy. Amen. How do I know that? Because I pray a lot. And he still shows up telling me, you know, how worthless I am as a devil. Get out of here. I know better. It's true. I'm nothing in me, but Jesus Christ lives in me. That makes a big difference. You see, we are different. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what it means to be born again. You do not live under condemnation. It will come. The accuser of the brethren, the Bible says, is Satan. And you just tell that guy where to go. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. There is a law of sin and death in us until we're born again, and when we're born again, it is broken. Verse 3, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. In other words, he took my sin in his body, that through his death, that sin now has been broken off of me if I put my faith in him. What does it mean the law was weak? Let me tell you what that means. The law was weak. The law could not change human nature, but the new birth can. That's why the Old Testament law couldn't work, because it had no power to change our nature, because our nature was corrupt. And all these people around saying that man's basically good is really blaspheming against Jesus Christ, because if man is basically good, then Jesus Christ wasted his blood. Man is not basically good. The law could not change human nature, but the new birth can. When we are set free from the law of sin and death, we are different and begin to take on the nature of God and begin to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Why? Because we have a new nature. We program differently. We begin to love people, care for people, reach out to people. The first thing you notice is the fruit of the Spirit. All of a sudden, it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Where's that coming from? It's the Holy Spirit in you producing fruit. If you're born again, there ought to be a little bit of love there somewhere. You see, we have a desire to serve God. Once you're truly born again, you really don't want to just waste your life doing anything. You want to find out what God wants you to do and do it. At least you should. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. That's what it means to be born again. It's not you just struggling to be good. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to change you from the inside out. When we are born again, all things become new. Galatians 6:15, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. What he means there, it's not just keeping the law. That's not what counts. Keeping the law is not what counts. What counts is being a new creation, knowing Jesus Christ and allowing him to birth you into the kingdom of God, to break that old law of sin and death, and then to live in you, enabling you to live a godly life. That's what it means to be born again. When we repent, we are changed by the power of God. We take on the nature of God. And we still live in the flesh. We still have problems. Okay. Like I said earlier, a young kid gets saved, he may not see all these radical changes, but that kid will know the Lord lives in him. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For ye are his workmanship. How you like that? There it is in the Bible. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. When he died on that cross, he foreordained that we should walk in his will and walk in his way and walk in his law and his commandments from the inside. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to resist temptation, because the temptation is going to come. The tempter even came to Jesus. And he said three times, devil, it is written, be gone. You got to do the same thing. That's why you need a preacher who preaches the word of God. When the scripture grabs you, memorize it. When the devil shows up, that's your sword. Amen. When we receive his grace by faith, we become his workmanship, and it changes us from the inside out. But listen, listen, if you're going to really be changed, you need to pray, you need to meditate on the Word, because what really transforms us is the Word. Jesus said, my Word is spirit and life. You need to be in God's Word. If you're really going to be changed and become powerful for God, you need to pray and meditate on His Word and then do the Word. And what is it being a doer of the Word? When you give and when you pray and when you go to church and when you take authority over demons and devils and when you speak to mountains, you need to do the Word and you can live a victorious, overcoming life. You can even get a better job by believing the Lord and make more money by putting your faith in Him. I mean, nobody's guaranteed anything, but He did promise that He'd be our shepherd. And it says, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not lack, I shall not want. What does that mean? It means you, if you really let Him be your shepherd, you're not going to have financial problems. I mean, how many ways can you interpret that? And that's something we learn as children. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Let me tell you something. Green pastures for a sheep is prosperity. It's amazing how we got the scripture right in front of us and we believe all these things that some of these preachers hatch up that's not from the Word of God. You see, this is what it means to be born again. For by grace, shed blood on Calvary, are you saved, born again through faith, your faith that He drops in you. You put that faith in Him and confess it. Like old Peter, when you get that faith in you that you're the Son of God, you confess, you're the Son of God and I make you my Lord. I'm going to obey you from now on. This means we do not change ourselves. He changes us. We become His workmanship. That's why we say you cannot be good enough. He has to change you. Now, here's what the Bible says we must do to be born again. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. What does that mean? It means if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So as soon as you confess your sins, you're forgiven and you're cleansed right then, right there. How do you know? Because He's faithful and just. Amen. Amen. Number 2, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that the Lord Jesus... That means to confess Him as my Lord. Thou shalt shalt believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. So you confess Him as your Lord with your mouth. You say, Lord, I'm going to make, Jesus, I'm going to make you my Lord for the rest of my life. Now, as a young Christian, you know, I was kind of up and down. But at 15, I rededicated my life to the Lord. The Lord filled me with the mighty Holy Spirit. I felt a mighty power of God like I never felt before. But the key to my current faith is when I got home that night, I knelt down by the bed, and here's what I said. I said, Lord, I'm going to serve You the rest of my life if it kills me. And boy, when I made that commitment, everything really changed. God is waiting for you to make that commitment. If you hadn't already, I'm going to live for You and serve You and trust You the rest of my life if it kills me. Boy, then He comes in, He takes over when He's got a commitment like that because He knows He can do something with you. Revelations 3:20, number 3. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Open the door, invite Him in. Confess your sins. Confess Him as Lord. Open up your heart. Say, Jesus, come in. Change me. Make me the person I was born to be. Let's stand.